I'm joined as always by my friends Allison and Chris. You can find them on the internet, but to find them on the internet, you need to go to binaryjazz.us to find their Twitter handles and websites and ancillary products. We're glad you're here on this beautiful internet day, joining us, talking about, well, that remains to be seen what we're talking about, stuff. It's kind of how we roll. We're glad you're back. If you're joining us, this might be the right episode to start with.
Only time will tell.
Yeah, it's too early to say.
I mean, it's not the worst episode to start with.
Well, I might be overselling it.
That wasn't meant to be a dig at our previous episodes. It's just, I mean, there's not a bad time.
I wonder what would be the worst episode to start with.
I was going to frame it the other way, which is best entry point.
Dyson Sphere, I think, would be the best. Dyson Sphere. Because you would understand like the next 43 episodes after that.
It all harkens back to Dyson Sphere.
All revolves around the Dyson Sphere. The center of the
all roads.
Gravitational pull of binary jazz, as it were, the Dyson Sphere. Indeed. So what do you think would be the best episode to start with, Allison?
Yeah, you're a fan.
I still really like the cryptozoology episode.
That was very early on, no?
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe fairly early on.
Third, fourth? Pretty early on. I don't know. I'll have to go through the archives.
There's a project.
How long would it take for you to listen to every episode? I mean, not you personally, but a person, if they wanted to go and listen to the back catalog at this point, would take.
Okay, so there's 44 episodes. I'm looking at the list. There's 44 episodes. Each episode is roughly 40 minutes. So
yeah, so let's just say somewhere in the neighborhood of like 33 hours. That's a lot of content. Having not really said anything. But
valuable.
You're so much more optimistic than me today.
Which is shocking because it's not where I'm at this week at all. But
yeah, that's about 30 hours of listening to us nonstop.
That's quality. Some people go out of their way to hear us talk in person. So the fact that people can just get it streamed to their device makes it that much. I don't know where I'm going with this.
We don't even charge for it.
Not that we charge for our other speaking engagements, Gary.
Well, that's a valid point. Do you think less people would show up if we charged for it, like our speaking engagements?
Oh, I was like, are people showing up for this?
That's not really a thing we keep track of, nor should we. We're pretty happy with what we have.
Me too.
Yeah, I haven't looked at the stats in a while.
I like the idea.
Other than that people download it occasionally.
People being Allison on various devices.
Yeah, that's probably accurate.
And the people that I peer pressure to listen and submit questions.
We do have a couple questions.
Good. Oh. That's what I was hoping would happen. They're not actually from me, I don't think, but no. I feel like
I mean, they don't have your name on them unless you've come up with pseudonyms. Shady.
No, I'm not that creative. I just claim that it's me. I don't.
Sauerkraut?
Neither of them have to do with sauerkraut. Ah.
That's maybe disappointing.
They're pretty good questions, though. They're definitely very binary jazzy. I feel like the people that wrote them had a good understanding of where our talents are. Yeah, Cryptozoology, episode 10.
Wow, episode 2.
Yeah.
Okay. You're like, no, I just said 10. Pay attention. Oh, no, wait. Yes.
Yeah.
I can math. Binarily.
The funny thing is
a combination of binary and binarily.
Binarily. The funny thing,
it would be binaurally if I did it with both my ears.
The funny thing is that I frequently find myself in situations mm-hmm. where I'm encountering the topics that we discuss on Binary Jazz.
There's a name for that. What is that called? Where you feel like you've encountered like a new topic that you were just exposed to multiple times after encountering it. Is that the topic today?
Surprise!
That would be something. I don't know what, but it would be something.
It would be something. It would be that word.
I think that we defined a previous topic as being that thing at one point.
Did we?
Possibly.
That sounds like us.
Yeah.
It sounds like something that'd be up our alley.
Yeah, I totally buy into that.
But that's not this episode. This episode is about something else.
What is this episode about?
This episode is about...
It's about... We need to appreciate how beautiful that segue was. That was amazing. That never happened. We should roll back and replay it.
I set them up, you knock them down.
Man. It's almost like we know what we're doing.
It's almost like I'm a professional, but not at yeah. all.
Yeah, except when you're professional, you get paid for it.
Yeah. As we've established, no one's paying to hear us.
No one's paying to hear us.
Nope. Just lint in our pockets.
But you can. You've got a donate button, I think, on the website somewhere.
No, that's true.
I will say, instead of donating to us, though, support your local food shelters while the government is not paying employees, please.
Mm, that's a better idea.
Unless you're in Canada, because your government is sane. In which case, support.
Shut down.
Right. In which case, support.
Binary Jazz.
Organizations that are, well, or homeless shelters.
If you're Canadian.
If you're Canadian, pay us. And if you're American, go donate money to the food shelters.
Actually, if you're Canadian, can you share some of that socialized healthcare? That seems pretty awesome.
Just extend your border to Mexico?
Yeah, maybe you can start annexing the northern border.
Yeah, yeah, that's
just what I'm talking about. When it gets warm and I can move there.
Speaking of healthcare, I had a test done and they got me my results in less than 24 hours. Like it was like, wow. I did not, they could have taken a few days and I would have been like, that's very reasonable. Like the fact that I got a call the next morning, I was like, who's this? Oh, it's the doctor already. That's very odd. Anyway, not to rub it in anyone's faces, but I was very cool. Impressed.
Katie broke her arm back in September. We went to the ER. That's what you do with a broken arm, I guess. Then a week later, like we had to go back. Like, I guess it was 4 days later or something. We had to wait and get a cast put on. The mm-hmm. cast was on for 6 weeks. Cast was removed. And just yesterday, I got the bill in the mail from the ER. It's January. So I guess they bill quarterly. Like, you know.
I don't know.
Fourth quarter and then sent it. I mean, it's fine. The bill is what it is, but it was kind of weird that it took so long to get there. Can I take that long?
Well, doesn't it go through the insurance company first? And like so they go and they look at the insurance company and they pull money from the insurance company, and that needs to process and go through all their bureaucracy. And then when they get the final total, that's what they send to you. And so you get the thing after it's gone through the insurance. Isn't that why it takes so long? Or did it not do that stuff and it went straight to you anyway?
Well, this was like we have an ER copay and it was pretty clear on the insurance card that it was $200. So like it was not like there was a great mystery as to what it was going to cost. I knew what it was going to cost. I was ready to pay it that day, but
you didn't?
They didn't want it that. They didn't give me the option. They said, we'll send you an invoice. I said, okay. I mean, as long as you're sending me home with the daughter I brought in, and the arm that we brought in broken. Like, I feel like I'm, like, we'll settle up later. I'm fine with that. You're all right with it. It's worked by me.
It's weird that it went through all those filters.
Yeah.
It just seems like that could have been like.
Usually the copay stuff for us is we pay it when we go there.
And doctors do that.
Yeah. And oftentimes they'll take your money even when, like, you're not supposed to give the money. I'm like, oh, yeah, well, yeah. What is it normally? $200? Yeah, we'll take $200. Yeah, we'll take 250? Yeah, we'll take 250.
I don't frequent the ER, so I don't know if maybe this is normal or abnormal. But I do feel like when we visit the doctor, the copay, like the doctor's on that. You know, $20 copay? Yes, you definitely owe that. And if you didn't owe it, like, it'll eventually be applied to your account, like, in 6 months or so. Or whatever. I don't know. I should pay more attention, but the whole thing is just skeevy, you know?
But you don't need to become an expert on paying or not paying when you're at the ER. That's not something you want to get really experienced at. The old ER visit.
That's a compelling argument. Maybe I'm happy being ignorant in this case. As in most cases, to be fair.
Which brings us to our topic this week.
Yes. Oh, we're back again.
Our topic this week is senpaku. Who knows if I'm saying it right?
Senpaku?
Sanpaku.
S-A-N-P-A-K-U. Sanpaku.
P-A-K-U. Okay.
Yeah, it's Japanese.
With a san.
It says with confidence.
At first, I thought in the first pronunciation, I thought that it was going to be Spanish in origin, but it is clearly Japanese. Senpaku is just the vernacular for the delivery service. So it stems from like the early days of the postal service. It's just delivery. I'm sitting in word crap.
See, basically any Japanese word could mean anything at all to me. Like, there's, sure. It could mean peanuts, it could mean waffles, it could mean the concept of being existing.
Back to when you're naming foods. I like that part better.
It could be the process of
personal discovery.
Yeah, that.
That you're sitting in.
I recently, and I've forgotten the name, of course, already. Possible Octopus, our Etsy store, sold our first item.
Yay!
And it was a towel thing. And the person who bought it said that she was going to use it for this Japanese word that I have forgotten already, which is used to describe the process of folding fabric to create a pouch. So if you think about like the old cartoons where you put your lunch in a tablecloth essentially, and you wrap it all up and you stick it to your stick, there's a Japanese word for that, of wrapping up your food or your gifts or whatever and folding it in a particular way so it becomes like a pouch. And that's what she was going to use it for. And so senpaku could be that. I don't think it is, because I think it starts with a K, but I mean, it could be.
You're thinking of senpaku.
An alternate.
I like the idea that it's a Japanese concept, but what if instead of being a Japanese concept, it's a Japanese place?
I like the idea that it's a combination of all the things Chris listed off, like waffle delivery concept of life. Like just
but to a place via folded fabric.
Yeah.
There probably is a Japanese word for that, actually.
Senpaku.
That's probably the Japanese word for waffle delivery via folded fabric to a specific place.
And it also gives you some sort of like life value, mm-hmm. conceptual notion of the meaning.
Purpose.
Yeah. Waffles well, now are I purpose. That. I don't have any argument with that.
Well, now I feel sad.
Now I need waffles.
That's also how I feel. I was going to say, I feel sad that now, like, the height of my, like, self-purpose today is sitting under a tree in a podcast, and then I'm going to go back inside and lay some more floor. Like,
that's a pretty good purpose.
Yeah. It sounds really productive.
It feels really productive. Like, as compared to, like, web development, where you can work on, like, a feature for several days, or, you know, you work on a feature and it doesn't actually make it to, you know, production for months. Like to lay floor and see like the room transform little by little throughout the day. It's super satisfying.
And it's actually the thing you're walking on and like the foundation. That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. My fingers are already sore and my back and shoulders, and I've got another day and a half of this, but hard to beat that satisfaction.
You can see the progress, which is like,
Yes. Not even my floor. Like, I'll do this and I won't ever see the floor again. But getting it down is going to be a big deal.
Cover up the floor with various rugs and senpakus.
So, senpaku is... It comes from the three words san, pa, and ku. San, of course, means self, and pa, of course, means a father, and ku is obviously when a government is taken over by a foreign entity. So it is when you are the heir of a government that has been taken over by some hostile forces.
Oh, I think you were saying government's taken by your father.
Wow. Well, you're the heir. You're the son or daughter of whoever is the leader of the government, and that person has been removed from power.
Let's talk about the suffix ku.
Ku.
It's clearly related to poetry. There's haiku and senpaku. These are the two kinds of poetry. Mm-hmm. Senpaku is simply Japanese limericks. They're generally dirty, but and that's just Japanese entertainment in general, so I don't know what you expected.
Senpaku and haiku. Interesting.
That's a good point.
I like that. Interesting. Like, interesting. Like that was an out-of-hand dismissal, which is okay, because I wasn't totally serious about it. But I just wish you would have called a spade and been like, no, that's just like dumb reaching, which is okay. I mean, it was.
No, I there might actually be something to the connection between haiku and senpaku.
There probably isn't.
That is, of course, if we're assuming that is, of course, if senpaku is in fact Japanese and not like
I was just about to ask, like
Chinese or Taiwanese or.
I don't think it would be. I don't think.
Korean.
I would be surprised if it was Korean seems more likely to me. I'd be surprised if it's Chinese or Taiwanese, but it might be. I would also be surprised if it's related to poetry, but it might be. But I was going to ask if we could explore for a minute, like if it were not, if we drop the presumption that it's Japanese, like
if we drop the presumption that it was Japanese, senpaku would be a delightful fried fritter. That it's a little fritter that is deep fried and sold as a street food. And go and get your senpaku with a really spicy spicy sauce.
That does sound lovely, doesn't it?
We're all clearly very more hungry than we're willing to acknowledge.
I had a huge breakfast this morning.
It doesn't matter. Once you start talking about waffles and deep fried senpaku, it sounds...
Yeah, amazing. You're right. Yeah, I need a snack. What do you have we're having a discussion in my house about, you know, like little six pack of crackers you can get from vending machines that usually have like fake cheese or peanut butter or something inside, right? Do you have a word for that package of crackers?
Crap. Yeah. Is the word that I give to that.
But I mean, that's not specific to that. Like, you wouldn't be like, hey, can you grab me a package of crap?
I wouldn't ask that question under any circumstances.
You wouldn't ask that question. That's fair. But I guess, like, regionally, is there a word for that? Because I found out that there is, in North Carolina, they call those, now I'm gonna hose it. Nabs? Nabs, I think.
Nabs. No.
Yeah. Yeah. I'd never heard that before. And Rhonda insisted. Yeah. Pack of nabs. What? Yeah. Yeah.
You've been married how long and you didn't know this about your wife?
It's not like we've had nabs in the house frequently in this marriage, you know? It was kind of a weird thing that she saw them and they were good for kids' lunches and I don't know.
I don't know what I would call them at all. Like, just crackers?
A pack of crackers. Yeah, I think crackers. I would too. I was surprised that there was a word for them and I was wondering if maybe I just missed that part of reality and everyone knew this but me.
I know that Utah is a pop state. As opposed to soda. And this
in the South, it's Coke.
California was, I mean, I grew up calling soda Coke my entire life up until the point where I said Coke in front of the Pepsi executives. So, that's just what it was. So coming to to Utah where it was quite definitely and distinctly pop. And I was being asked if I wanted pop, and I had to like, what? And yeah. And to me, like, I used to watch 1950s television during the day as a child growing up, and there was one show. I don't even remember what it was.
To be clear, you were not a child in the 50s.
No. I just watched 1950s television.
I just wanted to make sure that we were clear on that in case people weren't.
The skincare regime is immaculate.
Well, there might be some audio only listeners, right? So
that's true.
I don't want them to think that.
This is when we find out Chris is really in his 90s.
Yeah. God, don't make me feel
that. It's that gluten free vegan lifestyle.
Yeah, it is. That's what.
That would only put him in his 70s. Oh, no, I guess 80s? Maybe 80s. I was thinking 80s, but.
Anyway. there's some show that I was watching where I guess it was this, it's like, I don't know, like some like horror fantasy of the 1950s dad where he's imagining his daughter having a boyfriend and the boyfriend's coming over and he walks in and he says, "Hiya, Pop." And ever since then, I refer to my grandfather as Pop. So moving to Utah and somebody asked me for Pop, my immediate recollection is my grandfather, and I'm wondering why they're asking me about my grandfather. Until I realize that Pop is also a word for soda.
And you're like, I'm not in need of my grandfather.
Yeah,
right?
No, he's fine. Well, I mean, not fine, but.
He's dead. Thanks for asking. I don't actually know if your grandfather's dead, but.
He is now, yes. He wasn't at the time.
I hope I didn't kill him by that statement. He is now. Wow. Words have power, people. Do not forget.
My grandfather is presently deceased. At the time of the initial question of whether I would like Pop, he was not. Is that enough clarity?
The power of manifestation is real, though, Gary. Don't doubt it.
Yeah, that's the Sanpaku.
This is so much pressure.
Sanpaku is when you say somebody is dead and they instantly drop dead.
That sucks.
That sucks, yeah.
It's like, it's very similar to seppuku.
Right, except that's self.
Yeah, so this is others. Yeah. So wait. We've got haiku.
Yep.
We got seppuku. Right. I don't know how to pronounce it. Both of those end with ku. Maybe ku means self.
But haikus are not about self. Haikus are about, like, stuff, nature, like the world. Like, I guess it is about you, right? Your experience of the world. Maybe I should pay better attention to what haikus are about. Can we pause for a minute and take a small sidebar? The first website I built, like, for fun for myself was a website called Haiku Fish. This was.
You don't know what a haiku is.
I knew it, the technical American definition, right? 575. And so, well, okay, so that's really a haiku fish existed for a while. And we had like a daily haiku for the better part of 2 years.
On the website?
Friends. Yeah. Anybody could submit them. And then if I didn't happen to get on to selecting one, it would randomly pick one based on people who had the highest like votes in the past. It was a silly system. And I mean, not highly trafficked, because if it had been more than like 3 or 4 users at a time, it probably would have come down with the load and how horribly coded it was. But yeah, it was like totally, I even would call it a CMS. Like, it was totally like logic I rolled on my own, and you used like your Facebook ID to log in. And I think that what ultimately killed it for me was like 8 or 9 years ago, thinking like Facebook was pretty awful and I didn't want people to have to log in, so I just kind of let it languish, and then I didn't renew the domain, and that was the end of it. But it had some weird Japanese characters and border on it. This was back in the days when I would also try and like attempt front end as well. It was interesting times.
I like the part of that story where you said 8 or 9 years ago you thought that Facebook was horrible.
You were an early adopter of that idea.
I was
8 or 9 years ago, I saw Facebook as a necessary evil. I still kind of do, because.
So I think my last like
The entire internet is on Facebook.
Yeah, I was, my Facebook usage was sort of dying off as I was realizing how awful it was as Rhonda was pregnant with Tyler, who is now eight and a half-ish. And I, one of my last few updates was like about like how exciting it was to hear his heartbeat for the first time. Mm-hmm. And then I think shortly after that, I posted about, do you remember that show, not The Voice? What was the show with the a cappella singers? I don't know. I mean, very corporate. TV, PBS, Glee? Probably, NBC.
Glee?
No. It doesn't matter. I made some like stupid joke about like, watch this show. It's my Christmas present to you. And that was it. And that was kind of, I think that's my last Facebook thing. Now I say this like thinking that's the case. Someone's going to like go and look at my account and be like, you're a liar. Like, I don't remember. I haven't been there a long time.
I hope our loyal listeners do that to your Facebook account.
I wouldn't know. I wouldn't know. I will say quickly though that I have to keep it open because there's so many times you have to write like against the Facebook API and you need a freaking account for it.
Yeah. That's why that and the fact that we have a Fossible Octopus Facebook page and in order to manage it and maintain it. And I feel like I need to because there's no way anyone's going to find our stuff other than basically social media. So
so
it has to be there. My last Facebook post, I believe, I don't think I've gone back and done anything since then. I've used Messenger. I've used it for other things, but I haven't posted to my own thing. Was after there is that survey thing that went around for a while and there's like a personality test. And then it was revealed later that by participating in that, you are sharing all of your data and also all of the data belonging to everyone associated with you with the company that was just harvesting all this data. And I was like, that's it, dude, I'm out. Cause I did that. I did the test and I saw friends who did the test. And then and Aaron did the test. And then I'm like, yeah, I'm not going to put myself in a position where I'm possibly sharing. I mean, I don't care about my own data. I know my own data is out there. I don't want to share all the people I know's data, any platform that allows that, even accidentally, even when it's being abused, is not something that I want to participate in anymore. So I basically said, yep, see ya, this happened. I'm removing myself from this situation.
That makes sense. I feel like I would like to opt out of it in an ideal world, but then there's like three cousins once removed that it's the only way to contact them on, and then tech stuff.
Yeah, I leave Messenger open. I mean, I leave it on my phone. I leave that available because I figure that's, but I don't, I mean, I miss out on the people stuff, but I still, I mean, I'm going to be.
So here's my usage of Messenger. But whenever there's like some kind of family crisis, my parents will text me and be like, can you install Messenger? We need to get you in the loop on what's going on. And then I install Messenger and I'm involved in the conversations for whatever's happening. And then after things have settled down, I delete it. And
go back to normal existence. That's nice.
Yeah. So I mentally associate Messenger with like bad news. Anyway,
Facebook Messenger is the only way that my biological mother communicates with me because I don't think she knows my phone number. And she doesn't like write letters. So every once in a while, she'll send me a ping on Facebook Messenger. And then I have to like evaluate how I feel about that.
Oh, so it's like, yeah, so Facebook is like loaded emotions for both
of them.
It's like very layered in ways that it's like beyond the normal evilness of Facebook. There's like just so many other emotional layers.
And that is in essence Sanpaku.
So what is it now?
Now we can actually find out what it really is.
We're at the part of the show where we realize that it wasn't Japanese at all, right?
No, it is.
Pretty good, Chris. Nice poll.
It's a Japanese term and it means three whites. But it's generally in reference to eyes. So if your eyes have white space above or below the iris, like if it's visible, and it's associated with kind of like an old wives' tale, for lack of a better term, of like, if you have that, then you're a little off. So people will analyze to see if you have, now you're checking out, right?
It was unsuccessful, I couldn't tell.
So, someone has senpaku eyes, it often means that something in their system is out of balance, supposedly. I wouldn't even call this a soft science as far as.
Well, there's a lot of weird stuff, like blood type plays into relationship compatibility in Japanese culture, which is, yeah. So like, you want a girl who's like this horoscope, who is like this, and she's also this blood type, because mm-hmm. blood type, they believe that blood type influences your personality. So to clarify with the three whites, it's like this white, and then like up above my eye.
Mm-hmm. Like it can be above or below, depending.
Okay, I'm going to start watching anime with that in mind and see if all the villains that are a little bit off have Sanpaku.
I want to say something about blood type.
Go for it. Say something about blood type.
For a very long time, and I donated blood, I don't know, a couple years ago. And they were like, oh, you're A positive. And I was so happy to hear that. It just was like such a silly thing. But I like saying like, I'm a positive guy. Like that's, I don't know. It really, really made me happy to be like a walking dad joke.
A positive, but not RH null.
Yeah.
No, not to the best of my knowledge. Yeah. I think at this point in my life, I'd probably know.
Hopefully. Well, if you had to be identified already.
So we're at the point, I believe, when we can get to listener questions.
Yay!
We'll start with, let's see, we'll go in order of submission, I suppose. Trevor asks, what's the most dangerous job in the world? Now, I feel like there probably is an actual answer to this, but I'm going to hypothesize that the most dangerous job in the world is an electric chair tester.
That does seem pretty awful. I will also suggest that Trevor, by virtue of like, finding the question box on the website, means he's listened to several episodes, and would assume that he's not looking for the correct answer, but an entertaining answer. So with that, electric chair tester seems to be right up there. I don't know. I think that the unsung heroes of fast food are the people who have to make the French fries. That grease could catch fire at any second. So that's horrifying. And they're just right there with grease splattering. It's a rough gig.
And then they get this crazy order from the President of the United States where they have to make like 1,000 fries. And I mean, like, who's going to be able to, like, you don't make 1,000 fries in a day and you have to do it for the president? I mean, come on. That's rough.
I had to pick up, like, 6 dozen boxes of donuts for WordCamp Jax last year. And that was, like, I walked in and, like, I was buying donuts for the president. You want how many dozen? 6. Can they be assorted? That would be ideal, yes. Okay, it's going to take us a few minutes. Is it going to take that much longer than, like, taking 6 individual people that wanted a dozen donuts? Like, this... you don't sell 6 dozen donuts like on a Saturday morning, like already? Just, I don't know. It didn't seem like that many donuts to be so concerning. Still a little sour on that. No, sour cream donuts.
My first thought for most dangerous job had something to do with sharks.
I feel like that's a complete answer. I don't think you need to go any further. Something with sharks. Yeah, that's a valid
anything
argument.
To do with sharks?
I mean, there's the person that goes into the shark tanks at aquariums and feeds the sharks.
Yeah.
Usually they're actually in the tank with them and they're like waving around a piece of meat.
Like the chum holder. That seems like the dangerous job.
So maybe the counterpart that works at like an alligator farm, like the alligator.
Yeah. But it's probably not the manager. It's like the assistant feeder.
No. You're absolutely right. Yeah, you have to like move up the totem pole to be the person that directs the person that feeds you.
Yeah, exactly. Because the person's just like, okay, I've now drop the food in.
Yeah. No. It's all about technique. Get that arm closer to that mouth.
Bend the elbow.
Yeah. Lift with the knees, not the bend.
Oh, goodness.
Maybe an Amazon warehouse worker.
Oh, no. Now we're getting more dark again.
Are we getting dark again? Sorry, forget I said that. Are there more questions?
Because you can get buried in boxes?
I feel like that Amazon is exempt from OSHA. They bought off that department or something. They own that.
Ah, okay.
So OSHA is like, you know. So no, well, are you going to be crushed by a robot? I thought we were getting off this topic. What's the next question?
The next question, I don't think we can answer in less than a minute.
Any job where you get crushed by a robot is the most dangerous job.
That's true. So robot construction officer?
Mm-hmm. Well, that's the thing with like the early days in Detroit, right? Like unions are important because production of automobiles was dangerous as heck.
Yeah, I guess I wasn't formulating them as robots in my mind. But you're right.
Well, and even like the newer robots that do like, you know, gesturing and stuff. Not gesturing, but they're not like the factory line workers or anything. like after you, buddy, I put this head in without you.
I hate when they wave at me.
So creepy. There's a great factory tour in Detroit where they make the F-150 that is just absolutely fascinating. They're making like a truck a minute is what rolls off the line there. And you go, well, that seems like a bold claim until you see them do it and you go, oh, well, I see how they do that. It's pretty fascinating. I don't know if a truck a minute sells to justify that, but I don't really care either. It's not my problem to know.
It's not my problem.
I went to a record pressing plant in Nashville when I was there last year, and that was a pretty.
That sounds so much cooler than the F-150.
Yeah. they talked about how they make like the marbled special colored vinyl. Thank you for listening to Binary Jazz. If you like this episode, you can subscribe to us on iTunes or Google Play. You can visit us online at binaryjazz.us or follow us on Twitter at @binaryjazz. Don't forget that you can ask us a question through the form on the website or on Twitter, and we'll read it aloud on the next episode of Binary Jazz.